Lifeway Leadership Podcast Network.
You're listening to the newchurches.com Q&A podcast. New Churches is an online hub for the mission of church multiplication. Here you'll find the resources and training you need to get started, as well as a community of church planting and multi-site experts to help you thrive. My name is Daniel Lim, and I'm here with Ed Stetzer.
Is this where I'm supposed to affirm this ongoing unchanged? What episode are we on?
We're in 449.
449, okay. Yeah.
And so, it's a special episode for us.
Why is it special?
Because we're actually in the same studio physically.
Dun, da, da, da.
Which I don't think we've done since like episode 50.
Yeah, no, that's crazy. And you know, it's ironic. You and I think we live closer to one another than where we are now, right? I don't even know for sure. How far of a flight is it from where you live to Chicago?
Is that hours? No, Edmonton's far away from
everything. Edmonton's like
next
in the
stop
other.
Is Alaska. Is there?
So how many hours of flight is it to get to Nashville?
Did you go through Toronto? Yeah, it's about 6 to 8 hours total time because there's no direct.
Sometimes I forget how far Edmonton is. It is basically the Key West.
No kidding.
Okay, but we're still, neither of us live here. Yeah, we're in the studio at Lifeway where
yes,
we both
the music
used
City
to work.
Studio.
We both used to like office here.
Yeah.
But I never was in. This is the new fancy building. Is this what this is called? The Music City Studio? No, did you make that up?
It could be whatever.
Okay.
We want, yeah.
But they like blew up our building.
Yeah.
And now we're here. But excited to be here.
This is going
to
be fun.
It's going to be good.
Yeah. And the last 2 days, obviously, this is releasing December, but the last 2 days, as of the day of this recording, we gathered, what was it, 60 plus church planning organizations?
I have been told it was 72.
Yeah. Okay.
But I have learned that sometimes Daniel Yang exaggerates.
You know, it's pastor numbers. You just basically have to get. Okay, what's the number? Are you a pastor? Okay.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to divide that by 20, take 25% off. No, I do think it's in about 70, and I would guess there are 100 plus people in the room.
Oh, there were, yeah.
And we at the Church Planting Leadership Fellowship. So it's been two amazing days of hearing from people. I mean, Ed Kang, I mean, that was amazing.
It was just mind-blowing.
Hearing about their
completely
movement.
Completely different paradigm.
Yeah, we've heard from Assemblies of God. We've heard from Church of God. I mean, we've heard from all different kinds of Southern Baptists. Who else we hear from? I mean, we heard some Lutheran testimonies.
Danae Pierre from
She's from Surge down in Phoenix. Doing great work there. So, yeah, it was a great 2 days. So we're kind of both up on church planning. We're like we've had Red Bull for church planning. So we're ready to go.
Yeah, well, especially
we should
because,
make Red Bull a sponsor.
No kidding. And especially because we were focusing on what do church planning organizations need to do today so that we would have a plethora of church planters 10 years from now.
A plethora?
Yeah.
Is that like a plethora?
A plethora.
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Oot-a-na-boot.
Oot-a-na-boot, yes. Canadian Americans. I love that. Are you going to have to relearn all your English?
Well, you know, my typing has become American.
Yeah, has it? You put
the
period
have gone away.
Before or after the quotation mark?
The what?
The period. Does it go before or after the quotation? In Canada, it goes
Oh,
after.
No, it goes within.
No, that's in America.
No,
not in Canada.
Think so.
It
no.
is. I'm telling you, the British style is you can put the period after the quotation mark. You can never.
What about the Oxford comma?
Do it. The Oxford comma is true everywhere. The Oxford comma should be in the Bible.
Okay.
It's so important.
I'm glad we agree on
You're
that.
You're an Oxford comma person?
Completely.
What a score.
Yes.
I never knew this about you. You're now my favorite person. So the Oxford comma, for those who don't know, is when you have a set of three things, like we're playing golf, baseball, and basketball. You put comma and basketball, not baseball and basketball, because it's confusing.
Yes. Then baseball and basketball seem like the same.
Exactly. Yeah. So that you listen for church planning, you get grammar.
All right. Okay.
And for you Americans, the period always goes in the quotation mark, no matter how little sense it makes. It's American rule, but it's not true in British English.
Yes. Okay. Well, today's question, though,
is about British English. I hope not.
Well, we're talking about the idea of capacity building these last couple of days and the idea of making sure there is that leadership pipeline. And one of the things that a recurring theme that came up was the importance of churches planting churches.
Yeah.
So the question for today is one that was sent in via the Twitterverse.
The Twitterverse. That's the thing. I love that you're using the word the Twitterverse. Soon it'll be the blogosphere.
Yeah, the blogosphere. So here it is. How have you seen established churches create a culture of sending when it has previously been largely self-interested?
I love that question. And I think that's a question that is appropriate for millions of churches around the world.
Yeah.
So what happens is churches, you know, every church is planted. And when it's planted, I mean, somehow it might have started from a split, but somehow it came into existence. A lot of times it starts with a missional energy that it loses over time. So there's a lot of passion we've planted and we've started. And so now what are we going to do? Are we going to start more? And so I think that the idea of having a baby after being a baby is a little confusing to people. Well, shouldn't our new church grow some first? Hmm. No, by having church planting at the beginning, that's the best. But this person's question particularly, I think I saw this over Twitter because you tweeted and hashtag me or tagged me. Mm-hmm. I think for this person, they're asking the question, what about someone a church hasn't reproduced in 5 decades?
Yeah.
Very common. Mm. Well, what I would say is it sometimes takes a little time just to cast the vision. Now, there's a Bible study by, I think, it's a book by Elmer Towns and Stephen Porter, I think it is, Churches That Multiply. Mm. So it's a small group kind of Bible study curriculum you could use that you use in your small groups that helps people to think about that. So I would say, first of all, try to get things to multiply in general in your church. Multiply disciples, multiply groups, multiply ministries. Then begin to talk about the value of partnering with church planting. You don't have to start with, we're sending out 10% of our people and you know all this money to a new church plant. But start by partnering. Celebrate that. You know what? You celebrate, you become.
Yeah.
So after celebrating that for a while, and you've seen some multiplication in your church, then I think that's a pretty healthy and probably a good time to talk about, could we be involved at a greater level? Could we could be the primary sponsor church? Could we send out maybe 5 or 6 families? Maybe we're not ready to do 10%, but then begin to build up to that. So I don't think you jump from nothing to something.
Yeah,
you're not, it's, you know, we use the metaphor of birth a lot in church planting, and we're not talking about, you know, in 9 months having a baby. That's not what we're talking about. You might want to work towards this for a couple of years to build that up, but it's doable. We've seen hundreds and hundreds of churches do it. And most denominations, the larger ones, for example, now you have some of the midsize. E-Free has resources like this. Somebody's a God does, Southern Baptists do, that are geared towards churches that want to plant churches. Yeah. If you're in a larger denomination, the Assemblies of God, Southern Baptist, some of those like Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, you could call up the national or the district office.
They would salivate.
Yeah, and they would have resources for you too, though. They would say, here's some training resources, here's some things to use.
Yeah. The biggest thing that I'm hearing from you is that iterative approach.
Iterative. I love these are, you went, since you went to Canada, it's like the vocabulary
shot back up again, right?
Wow. That sounds like an insult towards Americans.
Hey, you're the one who said it. So
I did, but I didn't mean it that way. I feel like I've been tricked.
No.
Iteratively tricked.
So there is that iterative approach.
Yeah.
And honestly, partnership, collaboration, if you call
iterative,
up,
relating to or involving iteration, especially of mathematical or computational processes, denoting, it's another term for frequentive. It means to build on things little by little. Mm. Okay, there you go.
Yeah. And what I love about this question is the answer is actually a little bit embedded in the question in and of itself, right? Because it's, how have you seen established churches create a culture of sending where it's previously been largely self-interested? Well, this reminds me of one of the things that my new church or old church, the church that I'm back at, Beulah, does.
There's so many churches in your life.
Yeah. So last year we had 750 people go through Alpha.
This is
church.
At Beulah Alliance.
Yeah, at Beulah Alliance Church. And why? Well, it's because we have a culture of invitation. And that's actually what we're working toward being one of our values, because that idea of invitation is just, it's not present in every church, but in our church specifically, every weekend we have people inviting their de-churched and unchurched friends. And the reason every semester we're able to pack out Alpha is because of that culture of invitation. Well, the culture of invitation it wasn't birthed overnight. Right. There is this iterative approach that happened, and we have systems and we have constructs in place that help that have helped build that. So there's a really helpful paradigm from the book Designed to Lead by Eric Geiger and Kevin Peck. It's called Conviction, Culture, and Constructs. That's the paradigm. So if you want to change the culture of your established church toward having a culture of sending when previously it's been largely self-interested, you first of all need to think about the conviction. Is there a conviction for sending? Is that conviction believed among the elders or the local leadership of the church, the deacons, however your governance is set? Is that a belief that that sending is important, that it is the church's responsibility to multiply? And if you have that conviction up and down, then what is the culture that you can do to celebrate that, so that when multiplication happens or when sending happens at the small group level, at the ministry level, not even at the church multiplication level, you're celebrating that? And then what are the constructs or systems you have in place that are going to make sure that that's not just, I guess, related to or focused on one person's job description, but it's actually something throughout the organization that is embedded and then celebrated?
Love that.
Because of that conviction.
No, I think it's right on. I think it's great. I think, though, that kind of thinking is the kind of thinking that's necessary. And I think getting to that kind of thinking is not, to me, a stunning departure from the norm.
Yeah.
Church planting isn't that weird. If you said, you know, let's all, you know, suddenly move to, you know, some other country and do something, I'd be like, wow, that's a little out there. This is not that out there. The churches down the road are doing this. You know, it's, I don't remember the percentages off the top of my head, but you know, we see, is it 3% of churches? I can't remember. We did the State Lifeway research, but so 3% is not a small number. That's one out of 30 churches. So you probably got more than 30 churches in your town are involved at some pretty decent level. So finding some ways to get involved is, I think, key to make a difference.
That's perfect. Perfect. Well, thanks again for listening in to the podcast. Be sure to send a question in if you haven't yet done so. Speakpipe.com/newchurches if you're on your mobile device, or if you're on your computer, just go to newchurches.com and hit the sidebar on the right that says send a voicemail. All right, we'll catch you next time.